I think it's critical to note that when we then look at the implementing regulations, which are listed there, L2 spouses don't appear. They're actually excluded from the regs. And this is going to become more relevant and prevalent later on at the back end of my conversation. But I want to just get started with that is that L2 spouses are not specifically listed in the regulations as to whether or not they need to apply to get an EAD. In fact, a very good argument can be made that they don't need to apply for an EAD. If we could kick to the next slide, that would be fantastic because I think we're going to roll into the biggest problem here. And the biggest problem for L2 and H4 EAD folks is the processing times. First of all, if there is even a requirement that they apply for EADs and apply for extensions, the biggest issue is actually our government and the government and their processing delays. And I can't emphasize enough how and the number of folks that I've represented over the years, the number of spouses who are just absolutely crushed by the fact they may have a gap of employment from the point that their EAD expires to the time that they get their EAD from the government is numerous and it's troubling. So I think we can look here at what the service centers are doing. I've picked on the Texas Service Center because that's where I file most of my EAD cases. And I think if we look here, we see that their processing time to produce a card, which is essentially the same as a driver's license, takes somewhere between 8 and 14.5 months. I think we can throw up our hands and say, what is really going on here? It's a ridiculous situation, and it's one that really should not continue. I think what's critical to note is that for the H4s and for the L2s, the 8.5 months and 10.5 months at the front end of those ranges means that with USCIS requiring us to only file their extensions at least within a 180-day window, they're almost guaranteed to have a 2 to 2.5 month gap in employment authorization, just if we use that front end of that range. And I can't fathom having to tell somebody, by the way, the government's not going to let you work for a period of 2.5 months just because they can't process this card, even though you're already authorized to work and you're filing an extension. It just doesn't make sense. That being said, I do understand some of the reasons why, and I will give a little bit of deference to USCIS, even though they're horribly mismanaged and they're completely unorganized in many respects. I also understand that there's only about 19,000 folks that they've hired, and they do have to go through so many layers to get people actually staffed and people in place to get these things done. And they're not the number one priorities, even though we all think that they should be, and they really should be. I will give them a little bit of a pass on just being slightly understaffed. Hopefully, on the back end of COVID, and I think COVID did cause a lot of these issues. Some of these issues, they've been around for a while, but did cause some of the elongation of the processing times. I hope that they'll be able to get staffed up. I hope that they'll be able to get processing times down much more quickly. But as you're going to see later in my presentation, there are some things that are coming on the horizon that could actually help. So if we kick to that next slide. We'll talk about how to, and there should be a title in here on the top. Apologies for that. Don't know what happened. It should be how to expedite. And so expediting your case is an option. And this is a reactive option to the elongated processing times. And what is an expedite? An expedite is basically calling up USCIS contact center and presenting a case to them as to why your case should be moved to the front of the line. And I think it's important that when we're talking with our clients that we frame it in that light. Why is your case so important that it should be moved to the front of the line of the hundreds of thousands of other cases? And the government has given us some guidelines on how to present your case and what is important to the government so that they would possibly consider this expedite. First of all, for purposes of an expedite, you need to have a very well-documented case because it's going to be based off of what you present. And it's important that your applicant is ready to answer all types of questions because this is going to be on the phone. It's going to be on a recorded line. And so you're going to want to spend some time prepping your client for this. Anecdotally, what I'll tell you is that if you get denied the first time, try again. We are seeing that actually the third time is the charm. For whatever reason, the same evidence that's presented the third time is sometimes getting through. I'm not telling you that it's that's the trick, but it is a trick, so to speak, that we're finding out that you can do it. But make sure you have a very good, well thought out, well articulated presentation to the officer, and prep your client almost as if, and James is going to talk about this later, a consular interview. Same thing as prepping for going into a marriage-based interview or an employment-based adjustment interview. Prep your client to be able to present their case and be able to articulate why their case should be moved to the front of the line.
I have a question now, for you, Philip.
Go ahead.
When you ask, you say that the third time has been the success. How long do you wait between calls, between the first, second, and third call?
Fantastic question, and thanks for raising. We first figured this out just by kind of talking amongst ourselves. We're seeing that if you space it out a week to 10 days in between the calls, resolution and then calling back. So you'll get a resolution at some point after your first call. And then if you wait a week to 10 days and present again, get your resolution and then another week to 10 days. Now, mind you, each call, when you talk to the officer, they may call you back. They may call again to get more information. So we've had some cases that we started for expedites back in June or July, and we've actually now gone through this process, and it's taken 10 to 12 weeks to get there, but we've actually got it expedited. And if you remember the slide that was posted on previously with the 10 to 14 months, that cut 8.5 months on the processing time on one of those cases.